cracking the code on how you can drive business results and customer connection, equipping you to acquire, engage, and retain customers, inspiring lasting loyalty across mobile, web, apps, and more. Welcome to Mobile Presence, hosted by analyst, author, and top 30 mobile marketing influencer, Peggy Ann Sauls.
Hey, hello, and welcome to Mobile Presence. This is episode 388. Can you believe it? And I'm your host, as always, Peggy Ann Sauls with Mobile Groove. And this is your destination, as always, where you get what you need, you learn what you need, we tell you what you need to reach and engage your audiences every step of the funnel, or maybe power that amazing growth loop you might be working on, you know, driving continuous and positive results for your campaigns and your customers. Either way, we get the inside track on all of the above, because this is the bi-weekly feature show where we talk with the marketing experts. And they do it because it's their daily job, it's expertise that has earned them the title of Mobile Hero, as chosen by Liftoff, a full-service mobile app marketing and retargeting platform. So today it's all about decreasing stress, which is probably good news because you as a marketer must be feeling it. I mean, it's in these times, right? It's when you have to get big results on a small budget. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that is by avoiding mistakes from the get-go. And you need to know what to avoid. You need to know how to diversify. And these are some tough questions, yes, but we get straight answers from a mobile hero who has been there and done that. Her career has covered all sides of digital and mobile advertising. She was in an agency, vendor, client, and now consultant. And now, of course, something very different, director of growth at Stash. So bring it on, Kate Palmer. Welcome to the show and great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Okay, so I said that you're a mobile hero. That gives us some background. We know you're at Stash. That's another big point. But for people who don't know exactly what it means to be director of growth at Stash, what's your daily routine like?
Sure. So I oversee all paid acquisition. So I am in charge of running all of our, any campaign that we are putting dollars behind. I manage a team of four really incredible people. And between the five of us, we're probably managing almost 100 campaigns mm-hmm. at this time that span across many, many different channels. And every day we are just continually strategizing on how we can drive more users more efficiently.
And that's probably a good reason why you've written about diversification, you know, all of those channels. That's what's in your blog. And we'll get to that because I thought it was great. I thought it was great sort of like reverse psychology. It wasn't like you need to do these three things. No, this is what you need to avoid. That motivates us to try and understand what that is. I talked a bit about small business, you know, not small business necessarily, but really all marketers, I guess, and agencies are squeezed, right? I mean, you have to do more with less. And one of the things that you're highlighting in your blog is diversification. I'm just curious what you think the benefit of that is in a nutshell, because it makes sense. You spread budget around, but I wouldn't say promise yourself, but as a marketer, what should you expect?
I think it's really easy when, you know, you get notice from above that your budget is now less than what it was previously. I think it's really easy in order to stay within that budget to just pick one channel and, mm-hmm. you know, like one of your better performing channels and just funnel all of your budget through that one channel. But the problem with that is that if that, you know, when you are spending all of your money in one place, if that campaign has a bad day, you have a bad day. Mm-hmm. And so your performance will vary, you know, can vary pretty significantly day over day. And you really don't want those swings. I mean, it's not helpful to your bottom line. And it's obviously going to like raise a lot of questions internally. And, you know, no one needs that kind of stress. Great. So when you take your budget and you spread it out over maybe your top five performing channels, you're alleviating your risk of bigger swings day over day. You're able to continue to increase your number of users with minimal impact to your bottom line because you can just continually reallocate budget within those campaigns, you know, funneling it towards the most efficient channels for that day.
We're going to talk about how to find more efficient channels, you know, and diversify really. But at another level, you know, you mentioned that when they have a bad day, so Facebook, you know, Google, what have you, they have a bad day, you have a bad day. And that's a lot of questions that get asked. But there's also a lot of questions that get asked earlier on when you're maybe telling someone, you know, you're telling someone at sea level, hey, I'm going to diversify. It's like, whoa, wait a second. You know, everyone's on, I'll just name it Facebook. I'm not trying to disrespect them, but, you know, everyone's there. This is not a time for experimentation. You know, we are in the era of COVID-19. Stick to what you're doing. Stick to one channel. I mean, what would be your reaction? What would be your answer to that? Because I'm sure a lot of marketers are going to run into that, maybe more now than ever.
Oh, absolutely. My response to that is sure, but that's what everybody else is doing right now. So if everybody cuts out, you know, the majority of their portfolio and just starts funneling all of their budget into Facebook and Google, all of our costs are going to go up. And I mean, that at the end of the day, that's not beneficial for anybody. So my response to them is, you know, we can find much more efficient traffic at scale in other places.
Okay. So we overcome the herd mentality. We convince our boss and we're saying, okay, let's do it. Let's really do it. Let's let go of preconceived notions. Let's experiment. It's exciting, you know, to do something different. But do you have any sort of to-dos or not to-dos while you're moving in that direction? Because, you know, it's got to be a sort of thing where you do a campaign, you see what the metrics tell you, and then you decide double down, decrease, switch off altogether. And those are a lot of questions to ask there, but maybe there are some, just some, you know, rules of thumb to guide us through that. So let's just say I'm experimenting. How many should I go for?
It really depends on the size of your budget. But when you do start to diversify, there are a few things that I tell my team over and over again, you know, never take no for an answer. If you want to launch a campaign with a new vendor that you've never, you know, run with before, if they say, oh, we can only run this on a cost per install basis, but meanwhile, you're running all of your other campaigns on a cost per down funnel event, you know, a CPA campaign, don't take no for an answer. They can do it. They just don't want to do it because they're obviously going to make more money on a CPI campaign. So that's number one. Never take no for an answer. Make sure you're always negotiating, you know, to mitigate the most risk for you up front. And then the other biggest tip I can give is just there is no such thing as set and forget in the mobile industry. You need to be 100% on top of all of your performance across every campaign at all times. If someone comes to you and says, hey, you know, what's the CPA on campaign X? You should be able to, you know, give that answer right off the top of your head. You always need to be optimizing these campaigns. You can't just let it run and then, you know, after 30 days say, well, this didn't work. No, you need to be proactive. You need to be in there adjusting bids, blacklisting site IDs. You know, you need to be in there updating creative. You need to be in there and be proactive, and you should never just rely on, you know, the vendor itself to do all of the optimizations for you, because that's not beneficial to anybody.
And I love that, not taking no for an answer. I didn't realize, I'm not a marketer, right, Kate? So I didn't realize that, you know, you can still get that brush off, because basically they want to earn more, or it's just more problem. You know, they don't want the heavy lifting.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes it's not even about the heavy lifting, but, you know, on their end, they want to get as much learnings as possible. So they want to run the campaign in a way where, you know, it's going to be basically just casting a very wide net, which is great for them. You know, they're going to learn a lot quicker, but then it's worse for you because you're going to be super inefficient most of the time for the first couple of weeks.
Okay. Just a quick one for you. Is there a channel that has you know, totally interested or totally on your radar? Because we're telling people to diversify and we're going to dig into some places where they need to be going, but maybe there's one that just really is hot now for you.
Well, since I came to Stash, I have been pretty excited about our affiliate content channel. This is something that I didn't have a lot of experience before I came to Stash, but it is amazing. It's basically, you know, you're creating these partnerships with other companies for, you know, like Penny Hoarder, Finance Buzz. You're creating content with these partners and they're running, you know, reviews of your company or putting you in a listicle, you know, top 10 finance apps, top 10 apps for investing or for online banking. You know, so for the user, I mean, the users that come through on this channel are so much more qualified because they have a very strong idea of what your company does and what you have to offer by the time they enter the onboarding funnel. And so we have really been having a lot of fun over the last couple of months, really growing this channel at Stash.
That is fascinating. That's the first I've heard of that too. I expected, oh, you know, Quora, whatever, Reddit, you know, because they are amazing channels with amazing results. I mean, I've heard a lot and seen a lot, but content through affiliate and sort of like more power to content marketing. Now that's an exciting shortcut. I knew there was a reason why I had you on the show, Kate. This is going to be great. You are definitely going to be the stress buster for our audience, but we do have to go to break right now. So listeners, you can see it. You got to be back for it. It's going to be great. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mobile Presence, sponsored by CleverTap, a leading engagement and retention platform, will be back after this message.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.FM and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.FM.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com. Welcome back to Mobile Presence on WMR.FM. Here is your host, Peggy Ann Saltz.
And we're back to Mobile Presence. I'm Peggy Ann Saltz, and we have Kate Palmer, Director of Growth at Stash. And before the break, Kate, you were so helpful in sharing some inside tips that I think are going to really make this one sing as far as podcasts go. I expect it to be one of our more popular ones because it's just straightforward what you need to do. And your blog is about what you need to avoid. So let's look at a couple of those tips. So drawing from your blog, and we'll talk later about where people can read it, what's a top tip? Again, big results on a small budget. What do you need to avoid to get those results?
One of the things that you really need to avoid is just being uninformed about mobile fraud. Mobile fraud is mm-hmm. going to get you from every single angle, and there's no way to ever be, you know, completely free of it. And so you need to be aware of the different kinds of fraud. You need to figure out how it's infiltrating your channel. But then more importantly, you need to know how to operate and still continue to scale your business while, I mean, you're just going to have to accept that like fraud exists, and you just have mm-hmm. to learn how to proactively optimize it out and live with it.
Okay. I mean, that is the big one. And I've read a lot about the different types of fraud. Last time I checked, you know, there's several different types. I think I had it up to 9 in one white paper. What are, if any, some shortcuts? Because you're obviously going to go for the fraud that's the most beatable. You know, you're not going to go for things like bots that are just like constantly programmed to be smarter than you. That's a different world. But, yes. You know, again, thinking about where the marketer needs to focus efforts, where would you say that is?
Needs to focus efforts.
To fight fraud.
The yep. number one thing that you have to do is to invest in a fraud detection tool. That's number mm-hmm. one. They are pricey, but I promise you, you will be amazed at the ROI of these platforms. I personally use the AppsFlyer Protect 360, and it's pretty incredible. It blocks a lot of fraud in real time. So, you know, you're really mitigating a lot of risk on your side. And then even the stuff that it doesn't block out in real time, it gives you really granular data. So it tells you what kind of fraud it was, if it's hijacking, if it's, you know, fake installs. It gives it to you not only on the campaign level, but it gives it to you on the site ID level. So you're proactively optimizing it out of your campaign. This way, you're not just looking at a campaign and saying, oh, this is driving a lot of fraud, I have to pause it. You know, you're able to actually optimize it out. And so you're continuing to drive legitimate users on that campaign. It might be at a lower volume if they are driving more fraud and you need to, you know, be pushing more, pausing more things off the bat. But I mean, at the end of the day, like if you are still driving even 10 users a day from a campaign, I mean, that's valuable at an efficient price.
Absolutely. So being uninformed, as you write about it here, being uninformed about mobile ad fraud, that is the risk. That is the mistake. So you do have to be proactive. You have to understand and have a fraud detection solution, as you stated. What I like about your approach is that you pinpoint opportunities. You pinpoint opportunities where it will make sense for marketers, and it's something very simple. You know, it's something that you find opportunities in our current state. But as a person, you also find opportunities. I mean, I look at your experience, and I have to ask myself, if we can't learn something from you, you know, how do you find personal opportunities, career opportunities? What can you share?
Sure. So I think when a person goes into a new position or into a new company, a lot of people do not want to make waves. You know, they want their new coworkers to like them. They want to be accepted into the team. And I think women especially struggle with this. You know, they don't want to go against the grain. And so I think a lot of people's mentality when they go into a new company or a new position, you know, they look around and they see things that don't necessarily make sense to them, but they don't really say anything. They just say, oh, this is how they're doing it. They've been successful doing it this way. So it may not make a lot of sense to me, but okay, I guess I will just get over that and I will just do it the way that they are doing it. But for me personally, when I ask somebody, well, like, why are you doing it like this? And they say, well, this is how we've always done it. I think that is such an incredibly dangerous answer. Just because that is the way that you've always done it doesn't mean that that is the right way to do it or that there isn't a better way to do it. So I would say for me, I might be super annoying. I'm sure I am, when I first start a job, because I am that person that's just like following people around the office, just asking question after question after question after question, because I want to make sure that I am fully 100% understanding something. You know, because in my mind, you should never just settle for, okay, this is how they do it, this is how we're going to do it, and this is what is expected. These are the expected results. In my mind, I'm always thinking, how can I do this better? How can I do this faster? How can I drive more users? How can I, you know, make this campaign more efficient? And so I am truly that person that's going in there and I'm following people around the office, asking question after question. And then it's hard to say, once again, I hate saying women struggle with this more than men, but I think it's true. We never want to ruffle feathers. We never want to speak up and say, well, I think it could be done better, because we don't want to, you know, necessarily hurt anybody's feelings or, yeah, you know, and anything like that. That it's a real concern, but you can't be afraid of that.
I get that completely, particularly when you're new to the job. You don't want to come in and say, okay, so how do you do this? Like, well, this is the way it's always been done. But what I love about your approach, Kate, is that you're taking the marketing skills, which is interrogating the data, right? That's what it's all about. And it's interrogating the workspace, you know, the workflow. You're just saying, you know, why does it have to be like this? Why can't it be different than that? I guess the other secret is to always do some homework and come with something constructive. It's not destructive, like, oh, this isn't working, this isn't right. No, it could be this way. I guess that's the other half of it, isn't it?
Exactly. I don't ask so many questions just to be a pain in the butt. You know, I ask so many questions so that I fully understand what they are talking about, so that I am not just sitting there going, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, that's a stupid way to do that. You know, I want to make sure I fully understand something so that I can figure out a way to make it better. If it doesn't make sense to me, okay, well, what can I do to this to make it make more sense? What can I do to this to make it more efficient? And so that's the big thing. You never, you know, it's one thing to go in and be annoying and make waves as long as you're being constructive and you're mm-hmm. being productive and you are adding value to the company or to the department. But you never want to be that person that just comes in and is just, you know, a negative Nancy across everything and just say, well, that's stupid. That's a dumb way to do it. This doesn't make sense. You know, like you have to, if you're going to say those things, you have to back it up.
I love that negative Nancy. I hadn't heard that one, Kate. That's a new one. Or it may be your very own. I mean, you are a mobile hero. You get that accolade for a reason. Is there something you can share, an anecdote, so we understand not just where you're coming from, but maybe also an example that, one, earned you that title, but also is aligned with this attitude, this mindset of saying, hey, I can always make it better.
Truly, I think the biggest reason I was nominated for the mobile hero position, which was such an incredible honor. I was really stoked about it, is because I have always practiced, since I've been in the mobile industry, I have always practiced the diversification of the portfolio. Mm-hmm. And because of this, I have worked with so many incredible people. I've worked with almost every single mobile vendor that exists at this point. And it's a very small industry. So, you know, someone who started at company A, you know, within 6 months, they're over at company B and they say, hey, you know, I think you might be interested in this. And so I think, you know, being a mobile hero is just being really in tune with the entire industry and, you know, being able to figure out, you know, being able to walk into a place and say, hey, you know, I have 10 vendors who I think would actually run really great campaigns for this particular product or for this particular company. You have to be on top of everything. And that really, it really falls into my whole diversification mindset.
Mm-hmm. I like that because you have to sort of, you know, you have to have a broad base in anything. Otherwise, you're just too focused on one thing. You're not going to go with the flow. You're not going to adapt. It makes sense to me. Just in a word, how do you stay then sort of up to date and in, you know, in the groove with your industry? Any shortcuts on what to read, where to network, where you get your inspiration?
Yeah. So I always read all of the AppsFlyer newsletters that go out. They usually have, you know, since they are a mobile measurement platform, so they're ingesting so much data across the world, across every single app, you know, so they really have a really good, you know, finger on what is going on in the mobile mm-hmm. world right now, trends. And then the grow.co newsletter is also a great place for, you know, new and upcoming trends and products. And then honestly, I rely a lot on my friends in the industry, not only other UA people, but other, you know, people who work for ad tech vendors or mobile vendors. I really learn so much from all of those people. I love going to a conference or even just having coffee with another, you know, UA director, UA manager, anybody who's working in the same space and just saying, hey, you know, I'm really struggling with vendor X, you know, like I heard such good things about it, but I can't get it to work. You know, have you used it? Do you have any tips on how to get it to work? I feel like that is the probably the most beneficial resource that we have is each other. I mean, it's still such an emerging industry and there's still so few people who have substantial experience in the field. You know, we really have to rely on each other.
Absolutely. And those are great words of advice, Kate, really, and very human, very down to earth, you know, what you need to read. I agree. AppsFlyer has some great data. I live in data and reports and benchmarks, including Liftoff's benchmark as well. So absolutely, I get it. We do have to go to break a final time. So listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mobile Presence, sponsored by CleverTap, a leading engagement and retention platform, will be back after this message. Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company, distribution to almost every podcast portal, an embeddable player for your website, an ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts, and much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Welcome back to Mobile Presence on WMR.fm. Here is your host, Peggy Ann Saltz.
And we're back to Mobile Presence. I'm your host, Peggy Ann Saltz, and we have Kate Palmer, Director of Growth at Stash. And Kate, I've been enjoying this, I have to say, a little bit more than some of the others, although I won't play favorites. You are definitely a woman of action, and I love that. I love to hear that, and I love to have that on the show. So first of all, I just want to thank you for just sharing, you know, and being real.
Oh, thank you, Peggy. I'm really enjoying this as well. I was nervous. This is great.
No, this is fun. This is great. And, you know, a woman of action. Okay. So I'm going to ask you for the action plan. You know, unemployment high. We don't have to go there. Outlook for marketers, for everyone, is limited at best. We need positivity. We need ideas. We need motivation. You certainly have it, or at least that's what I'm feeling here. So we'll stick with the three, because that's what you have in your blog. You seem to like three. So this could be three things, personal or professional, do's or don'ts, so avoid or do, you know, just for marketers listening in. And some of it could be about growing their opportunities at their job, you know, again, leading on from diversification, but can also be things they can do personally, you know, just things to expand their own horizon. So I'll let you kick it off. What would be number one?
Number one is to always bring a level of creativity to your professional life. Like you said, the outlook for marketers right now is extremely limited. You know, all of our budgets are lower across the board right now. Do you want to just sit back and become a one-trick pony and just run campaigns on Facebook and Google? Or do you really want to figure out an even better way to continue to drive a high level of users even more efficiently? You know, right now isn't the time to just say, okay, well, if my cost per user was X and, you know, my budget was Y, okay, if my budget is now lower, I'm still going to keep that same, you know, that cost per user. Mm-hmm. That's just what it is. So we just have to be fine with bringing in less users. No, you should be trying to think outside of the box and say, okay, well, now if my budget is half of what it was, I should try and get my cost per user to, you know, far lower. So I'm still managing to bring in a good amount of users for that budget. It doesn't matter what your budget is. If you're getting creative, you know, you can still continue to drive a good amount of users and really have minimal impact to your bottom line.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably even more important now, because I think the UA sort of organic, you know, soaring organic numbers, I'm reading more and more that that's sort of leveling off. So it's going to be back to work for a lot of people as well. And, yeah, and making some decisions around the users you acquired and the users you want to acquire. So it's going to be even more important, correct?
Absolutely. You have to constantly evaluate your entire portfolio and make sure that you're always reallocating budget towards the channels that are most efficient for you at that time. You know, constantly funneling in new creatives, getting more creative with your creatives. It's like, okay, well, you know, I hate to use the word one trick pony, but okay, well, this is what has worked for us before. Mm-hmm. Okay. So are you telling me that nothing else is going to work for you? Like nothing else is going to, you know, be more efficient. Nothing else is going to drive more volume. You know, you have to stay creative, and you just have to always be thinking about the next thing.
Okay. And on that note, I promised that we'd have a professional. We had our professional, now a personal tip. So leave us with a motto, something to give us perspective, because, you know, hey, Zoom is our new social network. Work at home is the new normal. Maybe we need something to put on our t-shirts when it's all over. What would that motto be, Kate?
I would say my motto is, you can always be better. I think that is really impactful, not only in our professional lives, but our personal life. And also, I mean, the world right now, I mean, we can be better. We can always be better. I think we should always be striving for that. Fairly recently, someone asked me, we were talking about the Breakfast Club, and they asked me, well, who are you in the Breakfast Club? You know, were you the jock? Were you the popular girl? And I said, I was Emilio Estevez's dad in that movie. I was the guy saying, you got to win. You got to be the best. That was me. I've always had that mindset. I've always just, you know, like if I got an A on a test, I wanted to get an A plus. If I, you know, scale my user base 50% month over month, it should have been 60. Like I'm very hard on myself, but I think that has really helped me to get to where I am, not only professionally, but in my personal life as well.
Hey, that is great. And I'm thinking of a saying, okay, I'm based in Germany, so it's not going to make it. But if I translated it, they say, if you sit down, you rest.
Yes.
So it sounds about the same here. And it's a great way to leave us. And of course, you know, people are going to want to stay in touch with you, if only to get some of that motivation, to get some of that energy. I mean, you could put it in a bottle, sell it. How would they do it? What's the best way? You know, is it LinkedIn, Twitter? What's the best way?
Yeah, the best way would probably be to connect with me on LinkedIn, and then we can take it from there. I am part of the Liftoff Mobile Hero Slack channel. So if you're in there, you know, we can speak in there as well.
Awesome. And I was just admitted to that. I feel like it's like being one of the tribe now. Wow. I'm so pleased. So incredibly pleased. So thanks again, Kate. Thanks for sharing everything. It was great to have you on the show today.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Peggy.
And my friends, that is a wrap of yet another Mobile Presence. If you want to read up on Kate or any of the other mobile heroes in the series, you can check out their dedicated page and their amazing blogs over at heroes.liftoff.io. And if you want to keep up with me throughout the week, find out more about how you can be a guest or sponsor on Mobile Presence, then email me, Peggy@mobilegroove.com. That's where you'll also find my portfolio of content marketing and app marketing services. You can also check out this and all early episodes of our show by going to WMR.fm, or you can find our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio simply by searching Mobile Presence. So until next time, remember, every minute is mobile, so make every minute count. Keep well, stay safe, and we'll see you soon.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.